Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Are you guys ready for the word today? Oh, I don't know. That was kind of... All right, we ready for the word today? I didn't wake up and say, I'm going to leave the Great Wolf Lodge to come back and preach a lame message. So I'm leaving the Wolf Town. I'm going to preach someone's face off, and it might be mine. So let me pray for us real quick. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that I'm coming to a live church that's hungry for the word. That God, we didn't come in just to tick the box on a Sunday. We came in for transformation. God, you're going to do something today. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts. God, I just ask, Lord, that you remove any callous over our hearts. God, anything that we came in frustrated this morning, God, if we want to run someone off the road, right now you're just dealing with us. That God, you're giving us a hungry spirit to lean in and hear a rhema word this morning. God, I thank you for a congregation that wants to lead by example. God, I thank you for a city that God's going to catch on fire. That God, we're going to make your name famous. So we thank you today. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give it up for the worship team this morning. How good looking is Jamin's beard? I mean, look at that thing. That thing is like a merge ready, man. It's like fierce. You can cut a sword on that thing. Oh, man. I don't know if you guys are ready for today. I don't even know if I'm ready for today. I think I preached to myself, so I'm good this service. Last service was a message for Dr. Matt. That was for me. Hopefully this one's for you. It could be for me again. Yeah, you think it's awesome. Yep. Man, I'm telling you, such a touch of God in here. You know, no one wants to just show up to a dead church. So what I'm preaching on, you might be like, I felt like, you ever been to the gym and someone just punched you right in the face? No one, just me? Okay, maybe not literally, but you did a workout and you feel like you just got wrecked and you weren't thankful at the time. How many have been on the treadmill and you start a workout and you're like, I'm out of here. But you pretend someone called you. Like, oh yeah, I'll be right there. This guy got to go. Anybody feel, that's kind of like this message. It's funny, not funny. But there's lots of hashtags in here, so get ready. You know, I was like, God, why do I have to preach this message? So many other, the weekend that changed the world, like, can I just blow sunshine? You know, I just want to blow sunshine on my congregation. So we all leave, just like want to take people out to lunch, and we're all so happy. But no, it's like, why do I get the heavy lifting one? I mean, Pastor Leanne will be here like in 2 weeks. Can we give her the heavy lifting one? I call her the velvet hammer. I mean, just let her come in and, Lord, I'm not ready. He's like, just shut up and be mature. I'm like, okay. So, hey, listen. So this is what it is. If you don't know, we have a new building on Descanso that is on the 78 freeway. Some people know it as the Ashley Furniture Store. I call it C3 Heaven. And our man Patrick here, come on, is leading the way. And I'm telling you. So, you know, you could be all pumped. Like, we're going to have a sick building. We're going to drive a Ferrari up on the stage and preach from it. That's just my fantasy. But it's like epic lighting and like this recording studio and a basketball court for youth that I can just dunk on people. I can't dunk, but you lower it low enough. I mean, I just want to, you know, I'm going to go watch Black Panther and get a little in me and come do that slam it, slam jam. But why do I tell you that is because We want the big, shiny building, but are we willing to put the work in? And God did tell me, he's like, if you just get a big building, you're going to get a lot of people in. And they're going to get to see who Jesus is through your people. And I want a mature church. So this is kind of one of those messages. I'm like, but you got to be obedient. That's my, lesson I've learned lately. Why don't I just be a little bit more obedient? Horrible when you got to, God teaches you and you got to go preach it out. I'm like, God, I just worked this out last week and now you want me to preach? Man, I was offended last week and you just told me to get over it. And now you want me to preach on it? You know, I went from 2.0s to 1.0, so I'm getting better. But this morning, should I tell that story? My poor wife, I was studying, I'm like this, I'm deep in it. And she's like right here in my face. And she goes, how do I look? And I'm like, babe, your makeup. It's like so much. And she looked at me and I go, oh no, it looks great. I know, pray for your pastor. Don't say that, man. But you know what? Emerge kind of maybe wore off a little bit. Thank God it's next weekend. All right, I'll be fine. Shoot. Don't worry, Holy Spirit didn't go anywhere. Okay, people, we can have fun in church. I learned that at C3, I didn't know that before. I was part of the Frozen Chosen congregation for 30 years. And then I found the Holy Spirit, found C3, and you can laugh in church. You can have people jumping up and down in church. That doesn't offend God. No, he's probably up there going, just get somebody saved, would you? Come on. So. All right, so the message title. You sure you can handle this? You're all looking at me like I'm cray, but it's going to be fine. We're going to get through this. So the title of my message, Lessons of a Trust Fund Baby. Okay. All right. I love this. So James Allen, I love this quote. You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. I love this. He also quoted, smart guy, man. I love this. Circumstances do not make the man. They reveal a man. I love it. The average person lives 28,470 days. That's for you guys. You can fact check that. How many are we dedicating to our personal growth? It's amazing how many, when we say personal growth, the only people that get weird about that term are Christians? Right. It's like, all we need is Jesus. I agree with that statement, but personal growth doesn't help. You're all looking at me like, what am I talking about? If I go say, hey, have you guys read this book? Is that a personal growth book? Man, the only person that gets weird about it is like one of my saved buddies. Everybody in leadership or in the world, they don't know Jesus, but they're like, let me read that thing. You know what they're missing? They're missing Jesus. But I'm telling you, he equips us with great material, great people. My buddy Nick runs a personal development company, but man, Jesus is in the middle of it. And I'm telling you, I want us to have a revelation today that Jesus wants to do something big in our life. And the whole precipice about this whole thing is, I went on Thursday and this attorney was like preaching at me. And I was like, man, why is this guy got to preach at me? I'm already ticked off. Listen, my Tuesday is my get my meal prep. Yeah, get my message prep. I need a meal. I was doing my message prep. And then, when your day just train wrecks? You're like, well, that went that day. But good thing I have an emergency backup plan just in case that one train wrecked. So now I'm on 2 days train wreck style. I had a word 2 weeks ago. And then how many of you guys listen to podcasts? You know what? Blessing and a curse. No more. Here I am. Billy Graham passes away. I'm like, man, he was such a power. So I'm listening to Billy Graham all week up. How many know? That will mess a sermon up. I shouldn't even be preaching after listening to that guy all week. I barely felt saved, but I rededicated my life last night. Listen, you'll all help me out for my next preach. If you can go Google Billy Graham Sacramento, Billy Graham Holy Spirit Sacramento Revival, whatever. Just make sure Billy Graham and Sacramento are in there. Listen to that one. That will save 2 weeks from now my sermon. That would just be fantastic. But I'm telling you, I'm sitting here crying, listening. I did an altar call in my room. My wife walks in like, what is my husband's problem? Just pray for me. And then I'm thinking to myself, finally, flick it. On Friday, let's go to the Wolf Lodge. Grab the kids. We're going to the Great Wolf Lodge. You guys been there? I'm going to do a mandatory C3 North Campus. We're going to the Wolf Lodge. If you have kids, you'll be thanking me. But then I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to wear my kids out. I'm going to get him in bed, and I'm going to get my message done. Nope, you know only the people worn out? My wife and I. Dysfunctional. So that's it. I'm getting up at 5 a.m. How many know that didn't happen? By the time I went down at 7 a.m., I've never seen 5,000 kids in one area. I'm like, it's 7 a.m. And I asked the guy, is there a place, you know, quiet, I can go, like, study? Or just, he looked at me and goes, no. So I'm like, Lord, what would you do? I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. The message you gave me 2 weeks ago isn't even relevant now. That was the weekend, or the, you know, it was not even the weekend that changed the world. It was the moment that changed the world. Then they preached the style, the weekend that changed the world. So here we are. What the heck am I talking about? So I went to this attorney. He was a, yep. Who's laughing? Yep, yep. So listen, it wasn't for marriage. Don't worry. I went to this attorney to set up our trust fund. He starts preaching at me. He drops this scripture bomb on me. And then, you know, I'm like, all right, let's just get to my kids. What do you think? And they're like, well, listen, you know, I'm going to take you through this process. Asking all the hard questions. Anybody else? Okay. Nobody yet? You'll get there. So I'm asking all these weird questions, like when you die, who's going to do what? You know, I'm like, well, never mind. I won't go there. Okay. Don't be naughty. Just get through it. Okay. Listen. So you're getting, I'm this attorney, I'm answering all his questions. He finally says, what about your kids? What are you going to do? How are you going to leave them the money? I'm just like, well, if something happens to me and my wife, just give it to them. And he goes, whoa, don't just give it to them. How many knows an 18-year-old with a lot of money's in trouble? Yeah. Alex knows. Thanks for that testimony. That's true. You can ask him later about that, but he had one good year. Year and a half. No wisdom, but now he's got it. Thank goodness. And hey, come on, a year married? I love it. Who said it wouldn't last? That's amazing. So listen, babe, I'm focused, I promise. I'm trying to lighten up this crowd. I felt like last one, they weren't ready for the heavy lifting. We're good now. But listen, so money for the kids. I said, all right, so what should I do? And he says, hey, listen, pay for all their schooling, pay the stuff when they're 25, give them 20%. And if your brother's going to execute this trust, make sure that they blow that money. Tell your brother to make sure they go, but why would I do that? Because then they'll struggle the next 4 years and realize how hard it was to earn that money. And then when they get their next 20% at age 30, they'll respect it. Ah, and he goes, that's financial maturity. I saw it, that's brilliant. And he goes, yeah, and then you give them the lump sum, the rest of it at 35. I'm like, that's brilliant. And he goes, what would you have done with all that money at age 20? I'm like, well, my kids won't be like me. I did name my kid Maverick, but we're going this way, Maverick for Jesus. So, you know, because I look at my boy now, when I came home, everything changed. I looked at my little boy, and he was shoving mud down his pants, going, Dad, look at me. And at 3 years old, you're like, oh, that's so cute. 26-year-old, like, dude, you're stupid. You know, if my little boy, you know, was running through the house streaking, it's funny at three. At 25, it's not funny. My little girl's five, and she runs around like, give me a booty pop, and she's half naked. I'm like, dude, put on some clothes. Micah. You're a princess. Princesses wear dresses. Yes. See, at 25, that would be awkward. When I went to Westmont College, I got in trouble for streaking. It was not mature. Is that too much? Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Sorry, babe. You know, a lot of us have children, so we know the difference between immature and stupid. It's usually age. We hope. Okay, I won't even go there. So this guy dropped a verse that I'm going to read to you in a minute. I went home and I chewed on it and chewed on it, and then God downloaded an entire message and then showed me areas of my life that I was still spiritually immature that he wanted me to grow on. And he said, I'm giving you the Descanso building, but I'm also giving you the responsibility to grow mature Christians so you don't have a drama big church. And so while we're here, God's going to do a little thing, and he's going to take us on a journey how to get spiritually mature so we can be ready for when a church explodes. How do we love and lead people from where we're at to where we want to go? I'm not really preaching to you. I'm just telling you what happened to me, because what happened to me is I married this little bombshell, beautiful princess girl at 22. That I didn't marry her at 22, but I met her at 22 and brought her to church. She got saved on her first Sunday. 6 months later, my pastor's having a conversation with me how I need to step up my spiritual maturity card because my girlfriend at the time is outpacing me. How could a girl that didn't know Jesus 6 months before get saved and start to have revelation, walk in power, walk in authority? And here I was, a Christian for 30 years, acting spiritually immature. I got convicted, and I didn't know what to do, and the Holy Spirit took me on a journey. I never thought I'd preach about it, but here we are today. And so the lessons of a trust fund baby came from this nice attorney, set me up, and then gave me a scripture that I went and dove into, and I'm telling you something. It is power-packed, and I'm going to tell you to get this, take it home, start reading it, and let God reveal some stuff to you. Because where you're at, how many know there's no ceiling on spiritual maturity? How many know that? I didn't know that. I know that now. And so let me read to you out of Galatians 4, 1 through 7. I think it's on the screen. Oh, I like that. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Next verse. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Not bad principles. But when the right time came, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us when we were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you were his child, God has made you his heir. Lessons of a trust fund baby. Is that not a powerful verse? I'm going to keep going back to it because I want the penny to drop for all of us. It's amazing because I grew up in a Christian home. Amazing. I love my parents. But I never understood this principle. See, my challenge in this spiritual journey is that maturity has nothing to do with time. Time does not equal spiritual maturity. See, we might be a brand new follower of Jesus like my wife, brand new to this thing, and yet she was on fire. Here I was, dull in my Christianity, but I came to a church that started to bring me back to life. And I just want to give you the five lessons that I went on that brought me back to life, so you don't have to waste 30 years like I did. Now, let's not call them wasted. I had lots of good lessons. Let's just call it that way. That I hope I'm saving you all from a lot of lessons so you don't have to go through them. But you might be a brand new follower that may accelerate your growth, and you might be more mature than someone who's been a follower of Christ for 20 years. How is that possible? See, I realized I made choices that halted my growth. See, it's a challenging thing because we have believed in Jesus for 10, 20, 30 years, maybe some of us even longer. But how do we see someone more on fire? They're going after the miraculous. They're going after the supernatural. And yet we'll justify in our head, well, that's just not for me. But I just want to tell you, that's a lie from the devil. See, have you ever read the Bible? Thank you. Thank you. I feel better as a pastor for the five of you. For the five of you that said I read the Bible. Lord, help me. I'm going to give you a Following Jesus book by Samuel Duth. Step two, get in the Word. But okay, I'm preaching to the choir because guess what? I was the dude that went to church my whole life thinking the pastor was going to do something for me. Thinking my youth pastor, I'm going, I need to hear something from the youth pastor. He's going to do something for me. Listen, I'm going to go to the youth camp. Something's going to happen there for me. But I was never in the Word. My expectation was I'm going to go to church on Sunday so they can get me what I need to hear. It wasn't until I came to C3 that I realized, oh man, you can't sit in this church very long and not get offended. Seriously, I had a religious spirit. I had all this religiosity and that, no, I'm here just to get a word. I don't need a pastor telling me to start reading my Bible. Start tithing. Give me a break. So I went to even a Christian college, partly for my mom. She was like, go find a Christian girl. Mom, they're crazier than if I didn't. But see, the crazy thing, these scriptures are full of promises. I mean, sometimes they're such big promises, they go, can that really be for me? These scriptures, you'll find them to be almost unbelievable. That all things are possible. You could pray to that mountain. If you have faith as a mustard seed, that's just a little tiny faith, and something's gonna shift in your life. I mean, I can go pray for a house, circle it, and believe God's gonna show up in the middle, and maybe I'll get that house. Oh, it's weird, because I'm living in that house. But I wouldn't have known that before I came to this church. To have some bold faith, to actually go pray for somebody, that's crazy. So you may be waiting on God and not realize God's waiting on you. You're wondering, why hasn't God stepped in? Why hasn't God done something? I've read these scriptures, but where's God in it for me? See, this passage, I'm going to read verse 4 and 7 in a minute. It actually helps us understand why God's promises. He promises us so much, but why haven't we received it? If we are heir to the throne, if I'm a trust fund baby, that's what that verse is saying. I know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, then you're not, nobody got adopted. But once you know Jesus, he's in your life. Guess what? It says, I'm adopted into God's inheritance. I'm now a trust fund baby. But where's all these promises that the word talks about? See, the passage is full of so much promise. And then right here, he begins and ends with this declaration. I want to tell you this. While the one who will inherit his father's property is still a child. And in verse 7, he says something else. So now you are not a child. You are God's child. And God will give you what he promised. Why? Because you're his child. So this is what our first confession of the day. You ready for our first confession? This is what we got to learn to confess. God, I'm going to accept the fact that I belong to you. That I am your daughter, that I am your son, whichever works for you. So I want us to say it. It's hard. It's funny saying that. But I want us all as one church to say it. Repeat after me. God, I'm going to accept the fact that I belong to you. I am your daughter, that I am your son. It's an interesting thing. We've been adopted. We're either his son or daughter. We got to accept it. So what happens when we accept it? Now we got to start getting spiritually mature. See, once we give our life to Jesus, we're under this category. And we're either going to start living it like we're the heir to the throne, or we're not. And I can tell you what, I was the guy, the Christian, even in my family, we were the family living under this aspect, not understanding our inheritance. I came to C3 and I started hearing a new culture. I started seeing the word differently. I started hearing things. I watched my girlfriend at the time get prayed for, get baptized in the Spirit, and I've watched her entire life, and now she gets up here like a boss and praises, leads communion, looks beautiful, walks in the Spirit, has discernment, has wisdom. Still to this day, she's like, I'm like, I forget it. I'm gonna go beat down someone. She's like, did you pray about it? No. Man, I just want to slap somebody. You know, you're the pastor. You should probably pray about it. You're right. You're right. You have a revelation. Thank goodness for a praying wife, for her husband. Anybody else? Okay, just me. So listen, in verse 1, the one who will inherit his father's property is still a child. He is no different than a slave. It does not matter that this child owns everything. Here's the other segment in the same sentence that should like traumatize your brain. The child owns everything. He's talking about you and me. That you own everything. You just don't know how much you own. Because you're acting like you own nothing when actually you own everything. You actually may be living right now like you own nothing, but you actually own everything. I'm talking to the Christians in the house, the Christ followers. Yet the number one pet peeve that I have is poverty mentality if you're a Christian. Like I can't even be in a room, but I will. I just pray for myself. Honestly, it was this revelation. I realized I grew up 30 years. I have a poverty mentality. Where'd I get it from? My upbringing. Then I get in the scriptures, and there's nothing poverty about what God wants to do in our life. There's no poverty in the kingdom. I'm heir to the throne. I'm not going to walk with the poverty mentality. That doesn't mean my default. Maybe I'll get nervous. I'll get fear around money, but I crush that because that's a lie from the devil. And when we start taking our authority back, we start to get our mojo back of who we're called to be, what we're called to do, then what happens is we break off. If you don't know how to break off limiting beliefs, goes back to my whole thing, get around personal development. God's gonna give you wisdom, he's gonna give you the tools, and there's books written on it to help you. One of my great friends, I love Sam Duth. I told him, man, I love hanging out with you. You just gotta break something in that poverty mentality off. And he's very open about it now. I gave him 3 books, he devoured them. And he says, I'm changing my blueprint of how I look and see money. He acts and operates like a different human being in the last 6 weeks. There's something to try, just the way, he changed just a few words, but it's more than words, it's a belief system on the inside of us. You are a trust fund baby. You, me, we are trust fund babies. And this is how I learned. There's so many principles in this word right here. There's so many principles. And you know that all the personal development, all they did is rip it off. They're ripping off the word of God. And what's the difference? See, if we're completely his and everything is ours, why are we living in poverty? Mentality. Why are we living as if we have nothing? You see, I think part of the dilemma is that there's a lot of ways to engage the word. I have a 1-year Bible. I read it last year. It's weird. I'm reading it again this year, and I'm reading the same thing, and it's telling me something different. That's called the Rhema word. The word is alive and powerful. And I'm telling you, I read this 1-year Bible last year. I'm reading it this year, the same verse, and now it's telling me something completely different because I'm different. I'm more spiritually mature, hopefully, than I was a year ago. So God's revealing a new thing to me. That's what's happening today. He's going to stretch our capacity. He's going to challenge some of our beliefs. And he's going to ask you to look in the mirror to find out, where do I need to grow in my maturity as I walk with Christ? It's pretty crazy. So listen, I love this because there's these principles. See, one of the things that I love about scriptures, there's all these principles in the Bible. It even says that word principles in this. We're living by principles. We're living by godly principles under the law, but how do we go from the law and these principles into walking in power? Here's the difference. I love this because even if you don't believe in God, you can live by these principles and they'll totally bless your life. I mean, the principles in the scriptures, like the principles of generosity, the principles of integrity, the principles of forgiveness, the principles of serving. These principles all radicalize your life if you live by them. So most people rip off the Bible, don't give Jesus credit, and they're living by principles, but they're not heirs to the throne. They're not heirs to this trust fund that I'm talking about. See, my Westmont days, Amy, I'm preaching this for you, wherever you're at. Yep, there you are. I went to Westmont with Amy. She's like, you never preach on Westmont, so I'll throw this one in for you. Listen, I went there looking for my wife. It was a 4-to-1 ratio. Okay, I'm not an idiot. I was living by principles. You want to be blessed? Go over there. It's a 4-to-1 ratio. It's hard to strike out. But see, what I did was I was taking all these doctrine classes, these theology classes, all the Christian doctrine, Old Testament, New Testament. And you know what I realized? Man, I would go up to my professor and talk and be like, man, what about Elijah calling down fire? What about Moses, man? What about all this stuff? Oh, that was back then. Wow. That isn't for today. And it shut down my belief in anything supernatural. What happened was, and this is lesson number 1, get filled with the Holy Spirit. See, I was spiritually immature even at a Christian college. Here I was having a water fight in my dorm and I flooded out the entire dorm, got kicked off campus and they were gonna expel me for a year, but I had FOG, favor of God. How many know that with our kids, you know, our kids can be nightmares and we don't even see them. We're annoyed with the kid over there screaming, but our kid's like rolling around on the floor with Doritos on them. And you don't even see your kid, you see the other kid, like that kid, those freaking parents, man, would they even get a grip? Those parents are looking at you probably the same way. That's how I was, I'm like flooding the place, going to a Christian college, spiritually totally immature. Yeah, that was last week. Just joking if you're new, come back tonight. No, listen. I was just so discouraged, but then I came to C3 and I got this book called God's Generals. And I was reading all the stories of the greats. You know, I was listening to Billy Graham all week long and I was like, man, this is so incredible. I can't believe it. It's blowing my mind. And you see, what was stopping God from working wasn't God. It was my application to God. It was my limiting beliefs. See, verse 2 says, when he was a child, he must obey those that are chosen to care for him. But when the child reaches the age set by his father, he is free. I just wasn't spiritually mature or free. I knew Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. It's the same for us. We're like once children. We were slaves to the useless rules of the world. And when the right time came, God sent his son. See, we all have a revelation of Jesus at different points in our life. It doesn't matter if my wife was 22 and met Jesus. In 6 months, I saw the spiritual maturity. Not only did I see it, my pastor saw it. And I got called out, like, are you going to man up? And I had to look to see what that looked like. In verse 6, it says, his purpose wants to make us children, his children. We are God's children. This is why he sent his spirit into our hearts. And the spirit cries out, Father, dear Father. So we are no longer a slave, but we are God's kid. See, and God will give you all that he promises because you're his child. No other reason. He has grace for us. Even in your immaturity, he has grace for us. Even in my immaturity, he had grace for me. My wife wanted to be a pastor. She wanted to do all these things. I was way too spiritually immature to ever say yes to that call. I'm going to be honest with you. I had to go through my own things, my own journey. But you know what? I had all this bad baggage that I was justifying my position with my heir. Why God was only giving me the 20% instead of not giving me all his inheritance, all my inheritance. He was slow pacing me because he knew I couldn't handle it because of my spiritual maturity. It's sad to say, but that's where I was at. And I pray every day, God, make me more mature so you can give me the fullness of my inheritance today. I don't want to die full going to heaven going, this is what I had for you. This is what I had for you. Man, you're only willing to forgive that person. It's amazing. Like, well, the example is like, I'll come to church and someone will say something and offend me. So I unplug and worship. And then I'll get all ticked off like, God, where are you today? And we missed our word because we were all upset over an offense. A spiritual immaturity. When are we going to mature going, I'm going into worship. I don't care what that person said. I'm going to get my full thing out of this today. I want a word from the Lord. I'm not going to let someone sidetrack me. I'm not going to let my car. It's like, your car doesn't start. Next thing you know, like, well, I'm not supposed to go to church today. Shove it, man. Get a second car. That was for somebody. Speaking of cars, this is hilarious. Like, I love this analogy. Here we go. I know if this feels like a spanking, it's just child. Because if you're an adult, actually, you know, it's freedom. Wouldn't be epic if one day your dad just bought you a car at birth? That's like the new policy. You know, your wife gets a push present, your kid gets a car. So Maverick, I give him a car, he's zero. You know, how many know as the years go on, he looks at his car in the garage all the time. He's like, yeah, my dad bought me that car. My dad bought me that car. You know what's annoying? When I meet an 18-year-old and they don't have their license. That's annoying. That's you today? Listen, come talk to me. I'll help you. But listen, it is because it's spiritually immature. Get this. If I gave the keys to my kid when he's 10, how many know that's problems? I'm an irresponsible father. But when my kid's 16, let me tell you what I did when I was 15. I was already trying to drive. Okay? At 15 and a half, I was staying at DMV and they go, here's your learner's permit. At the day I turned 16, at like 5 a.m., I was waiting at DMV. The lady rolls up to unlock the door. I'm like, can I come in with you? She goes, son, we need an hour to set up. I need you to chill out a little bit. You look very excited. Hopefully you'll pass. Lady, I'm gonna pass. So listen, you have to go to the DMV. You have to take a test. And guess what? You pass the test, you get the cars, then you got to pay insurance. I mean, we know the gig. But see, we don't want to, the new, like, let me get it on this way. It's not spiritual maturity. But if you go there and you say, no, I don't want to go through the process. I don't want to take the test. I don't want to learn to drive. Daddy, just give me the keys. It's like saying, my dad's a jerk because he won't give me the keys. He won't let me drive. Well, son, you don't have your license. Well, Dad, it's my car. You bought it for me. You said it was mine. Wow. See, this is what we do with God. God, you promised me all these things, but yet maybe we're not mature enough. Maybe we don't have the license to maybe pray for people to see a supernatural because we've never even done it. It's not a bar trick. We're not walking in supernatural because we're not honoring the supernatural. See, I love it. The car is yours, but you don't drive it until you're no longer a child. When you become a man, when Maverick becomes a man, I'll give him the keys. When he passes the things he needs, he goes through the process. So what happens is you spend your life taking the bus or the trolley and other people taking you around because you don't have a car. But the truth is, you do have a car. And when people ask, how come you're on the bus? You go, because my dad won't let me have the car. Not only are you taking the bus when you could be driving the car, you start blaming your father and acting like he's not generous, and it's really on you and I. See, it was my son's decision not to grow up. And one day, here's the trigger for me. What if my boy has an emergency and his friend called him for a ride, and yet my boy doesn't have the keys to take his buddy to the hospital for an emergency? See, we think it's funny until that person's you. See, that person was me. I was attending a church, checking the box, listening to Pastor Juergen every Sunday. And then my friend called me and said, there's something different. I'm in the hospital. I need you to come pray for me. And I folded like a deck chair because I was irresponsible. I didn't know how to pray. I was going and hearing great messages. I was slowly getting developed, but I never developed a prayer life of my own. And when Pastor John Heinrichs called me and said, I need a miracle, God highlighted you, I folded. Spiritual maturity. It changed everything in me. Lesson two, start praying. This is how men's prayer started. After my friend, because I literally called Pastor Juergen, thank goodness for grace, said call Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark showed up, prayed for a man in boldness, prophesied over Pastor John, who was released the next day. Wow. Had a total miracle in the hospital. He had his license for healing. He had his license to pray. His spiritual maturity was way vaster, different than what mine looked like. And I said, never again, Lord. And I started a prayer meeting the following Tuesday. And that prayer meeting was five of us in a room. We didn't know what we were looking like. We looked like a bunch of rookies staring at each other. Pathetic, but it started. And spiritual maturity means I went and read everything I could on prayer. I got a fire on the inside of me, and we started seeing miracles happen in our prayer meeting. Now that prayer meeting is at all campuses. We just had 81 guys on Tuesday right here. We've never missed a Tuesday since 2006 because my friend got healed, and I said, never again. It was funny in my trust fund baby thing. I said, hey, listen, I don't want to check the box like harvest my organs until at least 10 of my friends come pray for me. But what if I didn't have 10 spiritually mature friends that come believe for a miracle like I could be raised from the dead? You know, they're doing it all over the world. Why aren't we doing it right here in C3? We are. We've had miracles of two people raised from the dead. Listen, when your time is of need, you hope you got spiritually mature prayer warriors that will come by your side to pray for a miracle. But what if there were none? We're not going to be that church. We're going to be a church that says, no, there is no steering over my spiritual maturity. So why emerge? Listen, dads, if you have boys, you got to take them. They do the rite of passage. See, the Jewish still hold fast to the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah. But our culture has lost the rite of passage. We don't have them anymore. We have a lot of children being raised by other children. And we can't do it in this church. See, we start taking on the personas of adulthood. That's what I did. See, when I was 15, you know, I was doing things I shouldn't be doing with girls because I thought that made me an adult. I started drinking at 16 because I thought that's what mature people did. You know, you do things that make you look and feel. I thought, I'm a player. I'm going to be a player. Man, that makes me look mature to all my peers. Nah. I was an idiot. But how good is God to have grace for me, knowing that he was going to see me through it? But what would happen if I had a My City youth that was teaching the truth, that was passionate about the things of God, that would put us on the right setup, not the wrong setups, teaching us the truth? You know, I love Irwin McManus when he was down here preaching at one of our Empowers. He used the word adulting. I looked it up and there wasn't a word. So he pretty much made it up, but he said, we need to teach people how to adult, how to grow up, how to become mature and stop being a child. It took me until I was 30 and I lost my man card. My pastor told me to step up before I had the revelation. And then within weeks, my friend needed a healing. That was the catalyst for everything to change. I meet people all the time that says, hey, where do I get discipled? I'm like, oh, man, we have a great, we'll figure it out. Like, you know, how long have you been a Christian? 25 years. Well, why do you still need to be discipled at 25? Why aren't you discipling people? That was the revelation. What am I going to, we'll always have a Paul and a Timothy. Be discipled, but be discipling someone else. That's a spiritually mature church. It's not, where do I receive? It's where do I give? Lesson three, start giving. And I'll wrap this up. But it's so funny. It's like I meet more Christians that get weird about money. Yeah, I said it. Crickets. You know, we want God to give us everything. And then we get offended when he asks for something. My favorite is when people want to take me out to lunch to give me their opinion on how we should do church. And then I find out they've never gave. Just saying. Or they say, well, how can I trust the church? Well, I say, but you'd be coming for months or years. Yeah, but I don't know if I can touch it, you know, trust the church with my money. Well, I say, well, that's interesting. You trust us enough to receive, but not trust enough to give. My revelation, you should be more careful of who you're receiving from than who you're giving to. Lesson four, start serving. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. You lose nothing. Listen, we don't need baby food. We need real meals. I'm not talking to the newbies. If you don't know Jesus, listen, you'll get to know him. But then press in and watch the miraculous in your life. But if you've been a Christian a while, why are we doing this thing half, whatever that phrase is? Let's go full throttle in this thing. Like, I didn't say I was never going to be a pastor. Like, I'm a straight up passionate marketplace entrepreneur. Chiropractic's my choice of weapon. But John Maxwell calls this, he says, the law of sacrifice. The rule of thumb is the lower you go, the higher you grow. We lower, God lifts. The leader's job is to serve. God's job is to promote. Listen, our pastor Juergen amplifies this more than I've ever seen in my life. I watched him when we were early days of church, setting up, doing all these things. I've watched servant hearts build this church, and it's still today. Man, I started off as on the parking team. Every once in a while, I just want to park my car and jump out and do it over here on the corner. I have no problem doing it. But let's start somewhere. No one's above serving. The smallest act of serving is better than the greatest good intention. Last one, lesson five, start chasing vision. This is the one that changed my life forever. Vision has taught me the most. What you see is what you get. You might have not heard me. What you see is what you get. You know what you know, you know what you don't know. But the greatest thing is, we all have blind spots. You don't know what you don't know. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what you don't know. Here's what I've learned. It's not discovered or created, it's revealed. It does not compete with others, but completes others. It's captivating. You can't stop thinking about it once you've got a vision. It's not about the money, it's about the kingdom impact. Success isn't about saying in front of others what you got going on, but it's about serving others. It's purpose, not feeding our ego, but God's kingdom. I'm telling you, I know God's doing something powerful in this church. You know, the guy that I talked about that had his miracle, Pastor John, is over Central Campus, preaching in East Campus today. There's four campuses that are being preached at today that God's doing something powerful. He's coming here tonight to go after the miraculous, to go after the supernatural. If you've never witnessed in a real encounter with God, I ask you to show up tonight. Come, let down offenses. If you know someone that needs a miracle, you drag them to church tonight. I'm telling you, if I told you Jesus was going to show up, would you show up? Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to show up. And Pastor John Heinrichs is going to prophesy. He's going to lay hands on people. We're going to have our ministry team ready. He's literally been preparing all week for tonight. I told him, I'm going to tell that story, how I folded, because I'm not raising a church like that. I'm not going to be a part of a church that gets nervous. That's why we had 81 men coming to learn how to pray like the last samurai up in here. And it doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you finish. 6 months, my beautiful wife was throwing down bombs and I had to step up my game in a big way. It can happen in a moment. One drop from heaven can change your life. So if I could just have all you people, amazing people, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for you today. Listen, Jesus is the greatest problem solver there ever is and was. Our greatest flaw is sin, but he died for it. Our greatest defeat was death, but he eliminated it with eternal life. Our greatest emotion is fear. But he rose from the dead. He did what he said he was going to do. Our greatest enemy is Satan. But Jesus already kicked his tail. Jesus is our answer. Jesus with us, Holy Spirit within us. That's what we're talking about. You know, I've been listening to Billy Graham, and what did he say? He said, God's calling you. God's calling you home to have a relationship with him. We are trust funds of the greatest inheritance that you and I could ever ask for. He will show us the way. I can't tell you how many God stories I have in my life, but don't doubt your relationship with God. The devil will do whatever he can to put doubt in your mind. We must cancel doubt. We're voting today. Each one of us is voting today. We're either voting with Jesus or you're voting for the devil. And I'm telling you, vote for God. It just takes three things. One is repent. We're all sinners, every one of us. Ask my wife. Nobody's perfect up in here, but I do repent. And I repent often. Second is by faith, receive Jesus right now. Number three, just say, God, I'm willing to obey you. No more of this watered down, like, hey, it's just the truth. Let's repent. Let's by faith receive Jesus in our heart. And three, let's all work it out together. Let's create enough grace for one another that we can pick each other up. But if you want a deeper relationship with Jesus, I just want you to raise your hand today. If you don't even know Jesus, raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. I'm gonna wait on you. It's the most powerful decision you can make in your entire life. I see your hands up in the back. Come on, I see all four of those hands. Amen. I see your hand, sir, right up there in the top row. Once you raise your hand, you can put it down. Is there anybody else today? There's a party going on in heaven. It's eternal life. Our inheritance is real. I see you up the back. Come on. We've all done this if we're following Jesus. So listen, I want to pray for you. We got our eyes. Listen, I want to do something bold. If we could all stand to our feet, if you raise your hand, I want you to come down so I can meet you and pray with you. Come on, if we could just come on down. I want to pray with you. Let's celebrate all these hands that were raised today. Listen, there's no shame in it. There's only victory. If you guys are up in the back row and want to come down, come on, man, I love it. We want to resource you, give you a Bible. Come on, let's celebrate them. I know there's a few more hands. Come on, the entire family. That's what I'm talking about. Don't get knocked out by the pulpit. I want to lead us all in a prayer for those of you that maybe didn't make it down. Are you, sir? Michael. Todd, come on, man. Hi. Alana. Hi. Nice to meet you. Come on, I love the greatest day right here. You know, we've all done it. It's not a big deal. It's funny how the devil will get in our head. But Jesus, he publicly called people. In all the New Testament, he all called them out publicly. And I always ask God, why do you want to do that, man? Why do you want to do it? He says, because when you come down, when you take a step out of where you were, you can never be the same. When you come down, this is what we call the altar. God alters you from right here. One of the greatest things, when I married my wife, we did it publicly in front of our friends, in front of our family. We made a public declaration, I'm gonna marry that girl. It's almost God saying, just make a public declaration that Jesus is gonna walk with every one of you. But right now, the devil's kind of getting up in your ear, blood pressure gets high, but he's already been defeated. He just tries to intimidate us. So I'm gonna pray for you. If you could just, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, forgive me of my sins. I want you in my heart. Show me the way. I want to walk with you. Bless me today and all the days of my life. And I can't wait to be in heaven forever. Amen. Listen, I'm going to pray for you as well right now. Let's give it up right there. We're going to give you all two things. This book right here is epic. It's called Following Jesus. It's the next steps. If you guys have never been baptized, man, we'd love for you to get baptized. We do it once a month. That's different than getting sprinkled, which is like dedicated or whatever. I mean, hey, wife is Catholic. We did it. But I'm telling you, baptism is one of the most powerful things you could ever do in your life. And we want to give you that. So this stud over here, Weight Captain, is going to grab some details, pray with you. But let's all stretch our hands out to these amazing people. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I ask right now, God, that you touch every one of them supernaturally. God, that they have a revelation today of what your power, Holy Spirit power, feels like. God, I thank you for this mighty man. I thank you you've created him to be a warrior for your kingdom. God, we break off anything that's not of you right now. We shift the old. He's a new creation right now. Holy Spirit, fill him afresh. All things that are old are done. They're dead. God, I see resurrection power coming back to life over this man. I thank you, Lord, for his gifting. A leader amongst leaders. God, I thank you for your angels right here, your beautiful daughters. God, I ask that you anoint them. God, that you put your angels around them. We break off all fear, anything that's not of you. God, I thank you that you're showing them the way, that you're going to put the right people around them to bless them. God, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. God, I thank you for this mighty man, a new creation right now. Lord, I thank you that you're doing something fresh in his life. All the lies that have been spoken have been broken right now in this moment. That he's going to find his true identity right now in you, Christ. And we thank you for the inheritance of every one of us in this house today. We give you honor. And everybody said, amen. Hey, listen, you guys, this guy's going to grab your contacts. You can follow him. It's just going to take 2 minutes. Thank you, Powerhouse. Listen, I want to make one last announcement. Let's give it up one more time. Shoot, man. Just whoop the devil. All right. Can we put that 5 p.m. slide up there for the next 4 weeks? Maybe. Maybe it's up there. Five's alive. If not, just pretend there's a slide up there of amazing speakers. I want you to visualize Mike Connell, Paul Scanlon. Come on, Pastor Jürgen Matisius. For the next 4 weeks, we have the most, we're going Nights of Fire at the 5 p.m. So I want you to buckle up, get ready to drink out of a fire hose, because if you want to see what God's doing in San Diego, show up at the 5 p.m. We want to go after the miraculous Holy Spirit fresh power. Come get rocked. We love you. We'll see you at the 5 p.m.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.